100 years ago yesterday, the 19th Amendment was formally adopted, so August 26th became known as Women's Equality Day. This month, we've seen a variety of commemorations of women gaining the right to vote. The USA Today Network decided to write about influential women who made significant contributions to their state and the U.S. since that time. 10 women from each state and the District of Columbia were selected and written up as Women of the Century. Kathy Flanagan is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter. She worked on the Women of the Century project and wrote the introduction for Wisconsin's List. Kathy, thanks a lot for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before we get to some of the women on the list, Kathy, can you talk about how this project came together?
Well, you know, Wisconsin actually was a year ahead of everyone else. So the Journal Sentinel had done some stories on how Wisconsin was the first state to let women vote. They did it in June of, 1919, but they did it in June of 19. And so we kind of went back at it in a different way. We had a group of women get together. We brought in a couple of women from the outside to talk with us, and we looked at who we thought was influential, who probably didn't get their due in other ways. And also we looked at people like, you know, everybody wants to say Oprah's from Milwaukee, and she had some time here, but we knew that a lot of the women we looked at, like Oprah, were going to be claimed by other states. So we just started paring down from there.
And I imagine it was probably tough to pare down to just 10.
Oh, my gosh. And then since this is run, there are many, many more that probably could have been on this list as well.
Now, talk about the process and the group of people and what kind of things you weighed to get this sort of representative sampling of 10 women who were influential in Wisconsin since that pivotal date.
Well, there were about 10 of us at the table, as I recall, and everybody brought in an idea who they wanted, and they went from athletes to businesswomen to legislators, and we just looked at them. We talked about it a lot. We also weighed where they were from and what their impact was in Wisconsin specifically, and that helped us sort of narrow it down a little bit. And then we sort of looked at, you know, what that means to women now.
We are talking to Kathy Flanagan from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at 10 of the most influential women in Wisconsin since women got the vote in the Constitution in the United States 100 years ago yesterday. Well, let's start meeting some of the people on the list. Vel Phillips is one. She's kind of in a category of firsts in Wisconsin. She was the first to do many things. We could talk about that. First, I want to listen to her. She's passed away, but we talked to her on Central Time back in 2014. Here's the voice of Vel Phillips, encouraging younger people to choose a life of public service to make positive changes in the world.
If you know that what you want to do is to make a better city or state or United States, and to right some of the wrongs, then you should hang in there and do it and not be swayed by the fact that it hasn't been done before.
Can you talk some about Vel Phillips' story?
Well, you know, Vel has a street now in Milwaukee, which is awesome. And she was the first African-American woman to graduate from UW-Madison Law School. She was the first to win a seat on Milwaukee's Common Council. She was the first to become Secretary of State of Wisconsin and the first to become a judge, not in that order. But she proposed the Fair Housing Law in 1962, and she wanted to make it illegal to not rent to Black people, and that was voted down 6 years in a row. It finally passed the Common Council in 1968. So, you know, she was tenacious, and she also marched with Father Grappi to walked the talk. So people, I mean, her name comes up often when you talk about somebody who is quintessentially Milwaukee. It's nothing but good.
I was listening back to the interview with her and reminded of the story and kind of how humble beginnings can lead to big things. She talked about how, you know, she'd been in a political organizing, a community organizing thing. And there had been a lot of talk about an election race for not her, but her husband. And as she put it, he chickened out and said she should do it. They used money that he had been saving up to buy her a mink coat mink coat was out, that turned into her city council campaign money. I mean, that the story of that and then her ending up on this list, I think, is pretty profound.
That's awesome. I mean, there were, when I didn't know, I mean, I knew of Val Phillips, but I've lived here 26 years and I did not know, I hadn't heard of some of these women. And that doesn't mean that their contribution wasn't well known. It just means I missed it. It's my problem. All the women that were chosen were perfectly chosen for a reason.
I want to invite our listeners, by the way, if there's somebody you think should be on this list of influential, important women in Wisconsin over the last 100 years, you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Another one on this list, and I got to say, I only knew the name because she's been reported on by some of my colleagues here at WPR over the years, Dickie Chappelle, a.k.a. Georgette Louise Meyer, born in another Milwaukee connection here. Can you tell her story as a photojournalist?
Well, she was a photojournalist who known for her work as a war correspondent. So she covered Iwo Jima and Okinawa and then all the way to the Vietnam War. There are books about her. She's included in a book that a colleague of mine wrote, Meg Jones wrote. It was World War II Milwaukee. She sounds like an amazing person, and I wish I had met her. She died at age 47 on a U.S. mission in Vietnam. She was following behind a Marine, and he accidentally tripped a booby trap, which killed her. But before that, she'd been held as a prisoner by Russia for 60 days. And she was fearless. She was afraid of some things, but she still did it.
And one of the rare, I think you write in the piece, civilians who received military honors after her death.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I I'm trying to remember if I read this. I didn't find it today, but I think she met Castro at one time, and then she totally changed her mind about him after she saw how he ruled. But he had a specific name for her, and I want to say Spitfire, but that wasn't it either. He complimented her in her ability to go to war and to just not be worried about being the only woman somewhere or that she was a woman and couldn't do what the men were doing.
And this is another common theme, I think, among many of the women on your list, and I'm sure many others who were close to making the cut, that they were often firsts or trailblazers or groundbreaking women in one way or another. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes, that's very fair.
We are talking about some of the most influential women from Wisconsin's history over the last century, a project at USA Today Network. Did this for every state and the District of Columbia, actually, to mark the amendment giving women the right to vote in the United States. Kathy, part of the team that selected Wisconsin's contribution. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about who's on the list or somebody you would have nominated, want to make the case for? You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now we pick up our talk with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Kathy Flanagan, talking about commemorating the 100-year anniversary of women getting the right to vote, highlighting some of the biggest women in the past 100 years of Wisconsin's history. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Antonio is with us from Elgin, Illinois. Antonio, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Who'd you want to bring up, Antonio?
I hope that there's at least one Latina woman on the list, but I did want to suggest Christine Newman Ortiz, who has led the really important immigrant rights organization in Milwaukee for many years, Voces de la Frontera. Christine has really brought the issue of immigrant rights to the fore, and a third of Milwaukee's population is Latino, so I feel like she's been a really important contributor to not only Milwaukee's history, but Wisconsin's history, and has been an important female leader.
Antonio, thanks a lot for the call. As it happens, she is on the list, Kathy.
She is on the broader list. She's not on the top 10 list. But she definitely was on one of the people we put on our list to consider.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait, I think I read the list. I'm sorry. She is. I see it right here. I'm sorry. I knew we talked about her, but yes, absolutely. She's a great asset to Milwaukee, and we're lucky to have her.
Antonio, thanks a lot for that call. And there were other people involved in various types of civil rights movements on the list. Another person, another name, Ingrid Washanawatok, born in the Menominee Nation and founded the Indigenous Women's Network. Can you talk about her story a little?
Well, she became executor of the Fund of Four Directions, a philanthropic organization, and she worked to revive and promote Indigenous languages. But I think her biggest claim to fame is serving on the committee as a committee chairperson for UN's International Decade of the World's Indigenous People. And she's and also co-producing the documentary Warrior. I mean, she's became the face of Indigenous people in the, throughout the country. So that's such a part of Wisconsin history. And her death was honored by the Menominee Nation with a full Warrior's funeral.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We've got some listeners emailing suggestions, local, some statewide. Jeff in Superior says, Grace Pattison, wife of the mayor of Superior, who really helped build up the city. They built the Fairlawn Mansion and donated a lot of land to the city, some of which is in Pattison Park. You know, it'd be interesting. I bet there could be a lot of fun, Kathy, for people to do this at the local level.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, we've got some suggestions, too. In fact, one man wrote me, and he had a list of probably 12 people. And it includes people like Uta Hagen, who was a well-known actress, but also theater teacher. She taught acting teacher. Or, from Charlotte Ray, who was on Facts of Life, to women who've done big, broad things that have helped their communities or the state or the world.
We also heard from Matt in Wausau, who emailed, like her or not, billionaire Diane Hendricks has had a lot of influence in our political discourse. She's been influential in her way. Thanks for that, Matt. And I think at the state level, certainly in politics, at the local level in Beloit, she's a household name for a lot of her development efforts there. Was she somebody who made the list of possibilities?
We discussed her. I'm from Beloit. So we discussed her and she did come up. I think we went with people who had that their touch was more national.
All right. Good. Thanks for the suggestion. And this is another kind of a statewide impact one. Chris in Adams nominates Shirley Abramson, former Chief Justice of Wisconsin's Supreme Court. So that's another case where probably this was somebody who had a statewide impact more than a national impact, I would guess, Kathy.
We did. We had a really long list, and it's quite impressive and makes you proud of being from Wisconsin. But we did sort of end up with a lot of people who had more of a national impact. But certainly, yes.
Maybe it's kind of unfair of USA Today to stop you at 10. I think that might be the problem here.
You know, it could go on. And you know what is spectacular is it's a growing list. It hasn't stopped.
Let's go back to our callers now. We've got Clara on the line in Milwaukee. Hi, Clara.
Hi. I'm calling to recommend the name of Laurie Wynn, W-Y-N-N. Laurie was, as far as I know, the only black female to become head of the Wisconsin Education Association. She was a Milwaukee teacher, and she became head of the WEA, and it was during the turbulent times of this Milwaukee desegregation suit. And she played a vital role in not only the settlement of that suit, but as far as I know, she's the only black female that ever became head of the WEEA.
Clara, thank you so much for suggesting that. Now, I'm not your editor, Kathy, but it seems like there's a follow-up here where you do people of statewide influence. Would you be open to a pitch like that?
There is. If you look at a story we had, there is a place where you can nominate people. So we are taking that seriously. We're looking at the people that we might have missed, but the people that everybody knows about that maybe we don't yet, that other people don't yet.
Thanks for that call. You can find the article and I guess make nominations at the website jsonline.com, the website of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Talking to Kathy Flanagan from the Journal Sentinel, looking at this commemoration of the anniversary of women's suffrage, looking at 10 influential women from Wisconsin over the last 100 years. I want to touch on a couple more names on the list who made these national or in some cases international impacts. And this is one, again, just because I'm connected to Wisconsin public media, I know the name Mildred Fish Harnack from Wisconsin, resisted Nazis in Berlin. Tell us that story.
So Mildred, who is a native, had gone to, I looked it up today. She's the only American civilian to be executed on the direct order of Hitler. But before that, she served 6 years of hard labor for crimes of treason and espionage. And there's a statue to her in Marshall Park. But it was a secret trial where Adolf Hitler had sentenced her to death. But she was married to she met a man in college at UW-Madison, and he was German. And they went back to Germany, and they were assisting Jewish people and others targeted by Nazis and essentially spying on the Nazi party, which is it's a brave, brave woman.
An amazing story. And now here's a name that I had heard of, and I didn't know about a Wisconsin connection until I read this article. Golda Meir, born Goldie Mabovich in Ukraine, ended up being a prime minister of Israel by way of Wisconsin, by way of Milwaukee. I didn't know that part of her story.
Her father came to New York first, but then he ended up coming to Milwaukee because he could get a job here. And after a year, he sent for his family. So she went to grade school here, and they credit her years in grade school and high school here with her ability to lead. For instance, she organized a fundraiser to pay for her classmates' textbooks, and she was always interested in teaching. And that's why there's Golda Meir School here. There's also the Golda Meir Library at UW-Milwaukee before she became, of course, Prime Minister of Israel.
Yeah, so a lot of surprising connections that we find here in Milwaukee. You mentioned earlier you learned a lot that you hadn't known about people from Wisconsin. Has it given you an appetite to do more of this, Kathy?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, I had not heard of Artie Clark Halyard. I know there's a Halyard neighborhood here, and I'm not sure. I would love to know if it's named for her, but I hadn't heard of her before. And she and her husband, she was born a sharecropper's daughter in Georgia, and she and her husband started a bank for African Americans because they weren't getting loans at the time. So they started Columbia Savings and Loan, and they helped African Americans buy homes, start businesses. And I find that incredibly amazing. And I hadn't heard that story, and I liked it.
You mentioned that athletes were in the conversation. One actually made the list from Wisconsin. I'm just getting to Gwen Jorgensen, who won Olympic gold in the triathlon. Were there other athletes that were in the running for the, if you will, for the final cut?
You know, we looked at some, but it really became more about, you know, it was a really competitive struggle. And, you know, I'm sure Bonnie Blair could have fit in here. But she also wasn't born in Wisconsin. So the struggle was real. And that's why Gwen Jorgensen made it, but not a lot of other athletes that come to mind.
Time for one more caller. Anne is with us in Madison. Anne, hi.
Hi. I was thinking of Stephanie Klett, who I believe was born in Beloit and promoted Wisconsin. That was her whole career, promoting Wisconsin in many ways.
She still promotes Wisconsin. She was Secretary of Tourism in the state for a long time. That might be a possibility again, Kathy, for those people influential at the statewide level.
Right. I think she's now promoting Lake Geneva, and she was on our big list.
Thanks so much for that call. So, Kathy, you're taking nominations, you said, for people for maybe a more Wisconsin-focused list. Is there a timeline? Could we be bringing you back in the future for another conversation like this?
I have to see where I'm not really sure how this is going to work. We just offered to let people tell us. And like I said, I've gotten some really good ones. So if I can round up these women I worked with again, it could probably happen.
Kathy, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Kathy Flanagan is a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter. She worked on Wisconsin's list of the top 10 most influential women in a century for a special USA Today Network feature commemorating the anniversary of women's suffrage. You can find the whole list and find out how to make nominations over at jsonline.com or at the national list, usatoday.com. By the way, next week we're making some changes to keep you informed and connected here in Wisconsin and around the world here on the Ideas Network. You'll find both 1A and On Point at new times on the Ideas Network, plus a few new shows and other changes on weekdays and weekends too. Take a listen and let us know what you think. You can find complete details on our website at wpr.org/fall2020. You can share your thoughts on those changes or ask questions about what's going on at WPR. You can email listener@wpr.org or call 800-747-7444.